The slow off-season hasn't really picked up so much quite yet, but there are rumors flying around, so let's talk about a couple of those. Welcome to the morning lineup. I am Allison Footer. I am here with my buddy Richard Justice. Richard, you know, we're kind of waiting around for the Scott Boras class of 2017-18 to get moving here, but we did hear that maybe Yu Darvish has met with the Houston Astros. That is a report by John Heyman that came out sometime in the middle of the afternoon on Tuesday. So I'm intrigued by a lot of this, and I want to hear, one, if you're intrigued, and two, if you think that the Astros would have a chance to sign him, or really any, like, really concrete interest in signing him.
Well, as you told me what to say before we went on the air, Dallas Keuchel's a free agent in a year. He's represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras takes his guys into the market and lets the market determine the value. And as the Boston Red Sox have learned the hard way, Scott is not Scott is very patient, a very patient man. Now, I've been told that the Astros think they are done. But in terms of Darvish and Arrieta, maybe even Wade Davis, I think Jeff Luhnow is leaving no stone unturned. I would bet you he has talked to the Rays about Chris Archer. Unfortunately for the Astros, the price there would be Kyle Tucker, and they're not going to do that. I don't think they're going to do that. So, you know, well, I mean, would you be excited if you're an Astros fan about seeing Yu Darvish in a uniform?
I think so. It depends on what the price tag is. But like you said, with Dallas Keuchel probably being on the move this time next year, do you have to start planning ahead of time? Do you need to replenish that depth? They do have, you know, some talent coming up through the minor leagues. Are you trying to plan a year out? So the rotation, if he was to sign with the Astros, would be Keuchel, Verlander, Darvish, and some kind of combination of McCullers, Morton, Brad Peacock, Colin McHugh. I mean, they have quite a few guys that could be in that rotation, but that, to me, this would be more of a 2019 move than a 2018 move.
Yeah, and don't forget Forrest Whitley, their number two prospect that they think will be in the big leagues in the second half of the season. But I think it's simpler than that. It's just, can we fit this guy into our budget? What does this guy do to us if we get him on a five-year contract or six-year contract? Because we got one more year of Keuchel, we got two more years of Verlander, and who knows what else. I just think if you can afford a guy like Arrieta, if you can afford a Darvish, you go do it. You know, like you and I saw, we have seen Darvish at his best. I think he flirted with a couple of no-hitters at Minute Maid Park, and we've seen him at his worst in the World Series. But what was interesting to me was that all the data-driven teams that look inside the numbers were really fired up about him. That they looked at the 11 strikeouts per nine innings, that the whip was – I mean, the whip is marvelous. I mean, his career whip is under 1.2. And when he's on, when he's healthy, he is a big boy, 6'5", and that ball – and that split finger coming at a downhill angle at you, there are nights you don't have a chance. So do I think they're going to sign him? I would think they're not going to sign him. But like you and I have talked before, this is a different free agent market, not just because of the slowness, but because the Brewers plan to spend big on a pitcher too. And I think the Phillies were going to spend. So I would imagine in both cases, it's just a feeling out process. But, you know, Get excited, Astros fans. This would be you can open the season with Verlander, Darvish, Keuchel, and McCullers. You'd have a pretty good rotation. And let me just say one other thing while I'm just droning on here. This is a Tony La Russa thing. I'm sure it's one of those things I've repeated to you 100 times. When you win a championship, you have to change the group dynamics, because the group dynamics change every year. And every year, regardless, as players make more money, less money, older, some are going to depart. And so this is what I wondered about the Astros, in that you look at the team, you go, okay, don't do one thing. Get one or two relievers, and then let's go play with the exact same group. Except the group is never the same. And it won't be the same for Marwin Gonzalez and Keuchel entering the last year of the contract. I mean, Jose Altuve and Justin Verlander are 2 years away. So all those things play in. So I think if you've got a chance to add a big time impact player, it just changes the feel of the team. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'd like to go on the record by saying right now that I am 100% against any 5 or 6 year commitments to a pitcher. So if that is what the price is, then I'm saying no, thank you. Those are the kind of deals that the Astros don't make, that the Astros never seem tempted to make. Right. And if I'm an Astros fan, I'm wanting them to continue that mindset. But like, I was kind of a little surprised to hear that they were even like, you know, kicking the tires maybe on a Jake Arrieta. I just feel like, because you're not going to get 5 healthy years from them, you're certainly not going to get 6. You do it. Teams do this stuff really to get the good couple of years when they first sign them, try to win that World Series, and then understand that they're going to have to absorb some pretty non-productive years later on in the contract. The Astros just won the World Series. And I'm not saying they don't want to win another one, but because they certainly do. But I just don't like that mentality of it's going to hamper us 4 years down the road. It's going to prevent us from being able to do some other things, as we're being on the hook for, you know, $15 million a year for a guy that's going to spend 3 months on the disabled list. I'm being a little dramatic, but I don't like that kind of stuff. And I like the fact that the Astros don't buy into that stuff. I don't want them to start now.
Yeah, but the smart teams don't do this.
Right.
If you go through and look at the long-term contracts for pitchers, I mean, the roadside is jammed with contracts that teams came to regret. In fact, if somebody went through and broke down every $100 million contract, and the one that makes the most sense is Alex Rodriguez. I just don't think they're going to do it. I think if you look at all these teams, the teams that you and I probably would agree are the smartest teams, they don't go long-term for pitching. Now, sometimes you have to, but if you're going to, you know, Scott Boras was selling that to Jake Arrieta while seems like he's been around for a while. He's under 1,200 innings, and it's innings that matter, not years. But there is a risk involved that is a substantial risk, and I think that's why you see teams draft 50 pitchers every year, because they feel you have to develop your own.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of that, by the way. Now that the Astros have some money to spend, now that they have the fans back in the ballpark, they've had some good revenue streams obviously coming in. The TV situation has been all worked out, but I don't want to see them needlessly spending on things that are going to hurt them down the road. But I also have a lot of confidence in that front office that they're not going to, they're not going to really be tempted by things that they shouldn't do. So,
yeah. And this is a different era in Astros baseball, where you and I would both say, there've been times in the last 20 years, where you look at each other and go, maybe they don't know what they're doing. But I think in the case of Jeff Luhnow, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I always say that I defer to the front offices because they always know more about their personnel than I do when it comes to really any team. And there was a time, and I will not say specifically what time this was. You're right. It was in the last 2 decades with the Astros that I stopped and said.
And it wasn't the Jerry Hunsicker era.
No,
okay?
I said, I don't think they actually know what they're doing. They almost made a trade that didn't happen, but had it happened, they would have been run out of town. So we'll leave it at that. Okay. We don't want to reveal all the family secrets in one sitting, Richard. So let's move on to the running candidate, and it's a long off season, but the leading candidate for most interesting off season injury of the 2017-18 off season, that would go to Rangers pitcher Martin Perez. And we are not laughing at him. We are laughing with him. He hurt his elbow. He has a fracture in his non-pitching elbow. So non-pitching, that's a good thing. When he fell at his ranch in Venezuela because he was startled by a bull. Now I can relate, because if there was a bull standing behind me and I didn't know it, and then I hurt him or he touched me in some way, I would absolutely freak out and I'd probably break several bones. So he's going to be out about 4 months, meaning he will be probably ready close to the beginning of the season, maybe missing a couple of weeks. What can you say about this, Richard?
I would say that if a broken bone in his non-throwing elbow is the worst injury he sustained in dealing with cows and bulls, he's lucky. I mean, people like me, you know, I grew up around that stuff, and that's dangerous. And if he startled a bull or the bull startled him, That's not good. And you got to, you know, we talk about these guys all the time. Don't jet ski, don't climb Mount Everest, don't do this, don't do that. Well, look, don't get in a holding pin with a 2,000-pound bull. And this is really a tough thing for the Rangers. It's a tough thing for Martin Perez on a personal level because he really came of age last year down the stretch. He was really good. You know, he's approached 200 innings 2 years in a row. And when they looked at their team this year, it was Cole Hamels, Martin Perez, and then we'll figure it out from there. And they've gone out and spent a total of $21 million committed to 2018 on Doug Fister, Mike Minor, and Matt Moore. They're going to let Matt Bush compete for a spot in the rotation. But John Daniels was already kicking the tires on pitching. So I think now they're saying he'll miss, that Martin Perez will miss half of April. But you don't know on something like this. You know, it's a broken bone. You don't know when he's going to be back on a mound and what all the residuals are going to be. So I think a guy like, they've got to go back and look at a guy like Arrieta or even Darvish, who, that you know, still lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Jake Arrieta grew up there, lives in Austin now. I mean, I think if you're in a win-now mode and you're not going to trade Adrian Beltre and Elvis Andrus and you're not going to trade Cole Hamels, you probably need one more arm. But I think John Daniels probably thought he needed one more arm anyway. It's a tough thing. Martin Perez, 26 years old, he may still end up having the season of his life, but he was one of the reasons the Rangers were optimistic about 2018. And now that, you know, you look around and what have the Angels done? What have the Mariners done? The Astros had a pretty good lead on them last year. So I would think there'd be some urgency to revisit the big board in John Daniels' office.
Really, even though it's his non-pitching arm, and I really didn't think much of this, to be honest with you. I mean, that's why I was kind of laughing at him. Because I just don't see this really being a huge detriment. I mean, if it was his left arm, then this might be a different situation. But really, I mean, you think that that would move them to actually change their course and maybe look into one of these higher price guys?
I think it adds a little urgency to it. And, you know, because the pitching is a kind of a full body exercise. Obviously, it's better that it was the right elbow and not the left elbow that he broke a bone in. But when's he going to be able to get on a mound? And, you know, when is he going to be at full strength and all of those things? Because you're going to have to be pain-free in the right elbow. Otherwise, you know what happens? You start monkeying with the mechanics. You start monkeying with your footwork, and something bad happens. So they're going to have to be very, very cautious about this. You know, who am I to tell John Daniels how to do his job? He's really good. He's got a great track record. But I think this changes some of the math for that he's looking at for opening day.
Okay. Well, let's move on to a little bit of a lighter story. There was a picture that got out, went a little viral. That would be Tim Lincecum. Can I say a buff, muscular, in shape Tim Lincecum? We haven't heard from him in a while, but he used to be sort of a regular thrower of no hitters. And he has been working out with Rockies pitcher Adam Ottavino, who put a picture of Tim Lincecum on his Instagram account. And oh my goodness, everybody got very excited because he looks like he's maybe hinting at a comeback. And we, you know, anybody who has covered him or knows him really likes Tim Lincecum. And like I think Jeff Passan said on Twitter, baseball with Tim Lincecum is better than baseball without Tim Lincecum. So what do you think? Can he make it? He's not that old of a guy. He's still in his 30s somewhere.
Yeah. He's 33 years old. Ken Rosenthal, I think, tweeted, is there anybody not rooting for this guy? Because his career didn't end the way he wanted at the end. His first four full seasons, he was Hall of Fame good. 2.81 ERA, won two Cy Youngs, was on the All-Star team every year, and then something happened. He just lost it. But he didn't look then like he looked in that photo. He looked now. He looked like he didn't pitch in 2017. It looks like he spent the last 18 months in the weight room, and that would be a great thing. You know, you always want to dictate the way you go out. And I know, well, I don't know. I'm assuming Tim feels he has unfulfilled business. And like you said, everybody that's ever been around the guy roots for the guy because he's just one of those. He's a little bit like Jose Altuve in that he's not a big guy, but he proves that this game is about skill and that if you can be the size of Aaron Judge, you can succeed. But if you're the size of a Roy Oswalt or a Jose Altuve, you can succeed too. And that's And that's one of about a million reasons we're hoping Tim Lincecum can come back.
Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to give you a couple free agent names, and you just tell me your first instinct, who you think they might sign with. Eric Hosmer.
Kansas City Royals. I just think he's going
back.
Yeah, and I think it makes so much sense. He wants to be there. They want him, and it would be such a cool thing for him to be he and Alex Gordon to be, and your guy, Sal Perez, to be the leader for this rebuild. Although if you got Hosmer, Perez, and Alex Gordon, I'm not sure how drastic the rebuild would be because their pitching staff's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, how about Jake Arrieta?
Brewers.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
What say you?
Yeah, you know what? I'd run because I'd say about maybe 6 weeks ago, soon after the World Series ended, I had heard that maybe the Brewers were interested in Jake Arrieta. And I thought, you know what? That's not a bad idea. They need somebody in that rotation, and that you don't want them to take a step back because they've been hit with a couple of pretty important injuries. And
once Arrieta or Darvish signs, then I think all hell might break loose because then Alex Cobb's going to get money. And then the fourth guy of that group, Lance Lynn, is going to get some money. Then there's – I don't say panic will set in, but right now you can be patient because you go, okay, if we don't get Jake, we can get Darvish. But once the – you know, it's a thin, very thin class in terms of elite guys.
How about Jay Bruce? We haven't talked about him. Now, the selling point with Jay Bruce, he could say, hey, you know, when I got traded to the Indians, they won 20 of, like, 23. So I'm your guy. Where do you think he would be a good fit?
He's one of those guys we all root for.
Yeah.
Giants or Padres? What do you think?
Yeah. Giants could use something, right? So.
Yeah. The Giants are going to do something. It's just, it's hard to get Scott Boras to sign that piece of paper.
Well, I think that Jay Bruce.
Here, Scott, just sign here and we'll work out the details in the conference committee.
I think that Jay Bruce won't be that terribly expensive. And I think that there's so much upside to him that, that I think that he would be sort of somebody that would be enticing to a couple of different teams. Because I do think that you can get him for, you know, something a little more reasonable. But what do I know? I always say that.
And he had – I think he had sort of a career renaissance last year. You know, his OPS, I think, for the year was over 800. He had 36 home runs. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah, and just a terrific teammate, model citizen, so all that good stuff. Okay, all right. I think that about wraps it up. Thanks, everyone, for listening to The Morning Lineup. Richard, I think we'll catch up again this week. So thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.